Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
And welcome to Those Forking Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy book, TV, movie, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Christine.
And today we're going to be discussing costumes, my favorite subject. Costumes in movies, in film, that made a lasting impression on us, that inspired us, made a character iconic for us, fashion moments that caused a shift in our pop culture lives. I'm excited.
And today we have a special guest again, our new social media manager, Chloe. If you missed her last week, she's here again. If you are not following our Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube channel yet at Those Forking Fangirls, make sure you are now, because Chloe's killing it over there.
I also told everyone last episode that they'd be canceled if they didn't. So they should be following us now. We also didn't give them the chance to miss me. So I'm back.
We're going to roll right into Snap, Crackle, Pop Culture news today. We've got a lot to talk about. First on my little list here, Olivia Rodrigo news. Okay, Olivia Rodrigo was on Jimmy Kimmel this past week. I don't know if y'all caught it, but she talked about how the original lyrics to Get Him Back and All American Bitch were dirtier. So it was like, in Get Him Back, it was, because I miss the way he kisses and the way he grabs my ass, instead of edgy. And the way he made me laugh.
Edgy.
Wow. Edgy as fuck. And then instead of perfect all American lips and perfect all American hips, it was perfect all American lips and perfect all American tits.
I wish she kept that in. Saucy. I love that. I don't really care about the ass but the tits line.
All right. What have you got for us, Chloe? Sad news.
I did think it was important to mention that Matthew Perry passed away this weekend, specifically because he has brought me so much joy. Chandler was always my favorite. And truthfully, I think I'm looking for a Chandler in a life partner. So I just wanted to bring him up because he truly has brought so many people, I think, the same amount of joy. And during a TV interview, he said that when I die, I don't want friends to be the first thing that's mentioned. I want my work that is helping addicts to be the first thing that's mentioned. And I'm going to live the rest of my life proving that. I think that's really beautiful.
I do think he's undercutting how much he helped people with friends, though, because he was the person that made me laugh in every single episode. And Friends was my retreat in life growing up. Like, anytime I was upset by something going on in my life, I'd like put on Friends.
So safe.
We named our dog Chandler Bing after Chandler because we love him so much.
This
was a shock to the system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was quite shocking.
I still kind of feel like I haven't processed it because he's just been such a staple. I turn on Friends all the time. Yeah. I know every line. It's so sad.
Nicole says, I've been in the middle of a Friends rewatch and it suddenly got much more emotional to watch.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. And my brother posted a clip and was on Instagram when he passed and was just like, he's brought so much joy to me and my family for years and years and years. I was like, that's so real.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to keep moving here. Keeping it moving. Taylor Swift is officially a billionaire. She has really killed the game. And I just saw this morning that labels are baking into their contracts now that their artists won't be able to re-record their songs for 10 to 30 years. Because of how successful her doing her own thing has been. Which is such absolute bullshit.
That's
also
ridiculous.
Also the Taylor Swift impact. Like, oh my gosh, that's really just so shitty.
It really is. It's just like trying to control artists. But now, because she did this, of course, everyone's way more aware that they want to own their masters. Like Olivia Rodrigo owns her masters because of what Taylor Swift has spoken out about. All right. This moves us right along, though, into 1989, Taylor's Version, which came out this week. And we're going to get everybody's thoughts here. I mean, me personally, I knew it was 1989 when I heard all the vault tracks and they just mushed together in my mind the first time, just like the entire album 1989 did when I listened to it.
Natasha, you want to give us your thoughts?
Overall thoughts. Okay. So 1989 is like my favorite, but it's weird revisiting it because it's like, it's still, I don't know if it's still my favorite. Like, I think Midnight's is my new favorite. Well, Folklore is my favorite, but like 1989 was my favorite for the longest time. So I'm a little picky. I love it. It's amazing. Welcome to New York is like fantastic. It was just like all encompassing when it turned on. I was like, oh my gosh, it sounds so much better. I'm a little picky about Blank Space. Might be I know an unpopular opinion. I feel like she sounds very airy in it and it's not crispy enough. And I don't know if she just like layered a bunch of
crispy
her. I don't know if she layered a bunch of sounds on it or something, but it's not like as pinpointy as I want it to be. But that's my only thing. The vault tracks are so fun and I see way more of Harry. Like, I feel like 1989, I had no idea this entire album was about Harry. And then the vault tracks came and it's like slapped in your face, Harry.
This is like whenever Natasha says this, I'm just like, I've been talking about this.
No, forever. I know you have.
And now I've been getting some comments on my Midnight's Breakdown being like, oh, when you said all those were about Harry, I didn't believe you. But like, I think maybe I believe you now. It just like annoys me because like I was right. And everyone was like, you're wrong. And now when it's obvious, everyone's like, oh. Lyrically, it's all connected. It's all about the same person. Mm. It's like, I'm not looking
connecting
at it like this.
Threads.
This is my conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. This is my like scholarly reading the lyrics and analyzing them like in an intellectual way, not being like, oh, I think she looked this way and that means Harry was that way too. Like, it's not
you
something
need
obscure
to teach
and random.
A university class in Taylor Swift, like so badly.
I literally could.
I know.
I have all of these notes.
I know you
so
could.
Deep.
I take it.
Anyway.
I'd be front row. Ass yes. Sat. Oh.
Sat.
Thanks. Oh, Chloe, what are your thoughts on the new re-record?
I am really, really pleased with the re-record. I was so excited about it. I feel like I underappreciated 1989 and then went back to it and was like, no, this hits. I think it's stronger than the original. I think the vocals that she has now does it like a great service. I felt like the vault tracks blended together a little bit. They sounded similar in my opinion, and I felt like I understood maybe why they were cut for the initial release. That being said, 3 out of 5 of the songs' royalties need to be paying for my weekly therapy because of how I now feel unhealed from some situations after listening to these songs. But overall, very pleased with it. And I just think that with her mature vocals, all of these re-records are just such a blessing because they sound so good and so much like fuller, genuinely.
Yeah. I, agreed. So Oh my God, what did you just say that I had a point about? Oh, okay. So the reasoning for her leaving some of these off the album, I think a lot of the reasons are that it's so obviously about Harry and it was not really over. So she was keeping the door open, just like she is in Say Don't Go, because if she puts out all this music, it really draws attention to it and would make it even harder if anything were to happen.
Yeah.
But now it's like, whatever.
That's a really good point. Is it over now? It's like, is super telling for that.
Yes. Well, so let's go into it. So the first song we've got is Slut. And Slut was the mushiest for me because I had completely, she duped us. She was like, I'm going to put out this title.
I knew she was going to do that.
Exclamation mark. And say it's going to be the single and it's going to be this slow mush song that you don't hear the first time.
You can hear like, the lyrically, first time.
I couldn't hear anything. I was just like, what is happening? This is so 1989. But I had to concentrate so hard, like, because I usually don't listen with the lyric videos because I like to like pull them out myself and then look later. But I was like, I need the video. I can't hear anything. But that's the only one that I didn't love. I give that one 2 stars. Did you guys love Slut?
No. Sorry.
No.
You know, I felt the same. It was very mushy. Yeah, it was very mushy, and I feel like I couldn't hear the word slut. Like it was like a puzzle.
Like a whisper.
You wanted her to be like more slut. You wanted her to give more.
I wanted a rock anthem. Mm-hmm. Well, Pink has this song Slut Like Me, and it's so good. Yeah. And I love it. And that's what I was comparing. That's what I was expecting.
I was expecting exactly this, actually. When we found out that one of the vault tracks was called Slut, I was like, oh, it's going to be the opposite. It's going to be a love song, and it's going to be about, obviously, the era where everyone is talking about how she's dating too many men and whatever. I think, though, for this to come out as her relationship with Travis blossoms is really interesting, because I feel like a lot of the lyrics definitely can relate to their relationship right now and just how much it's being talked about in the media. Like, I don't know if we've ever seen...
But now
seen...
we would never call her a slut.
We would never call her a slut. Never. I also am a woman that has reclaimed slut, but I also love the nod to Beyonce. Because it feels like this summer has been... Yeah, I feel like this summer has been all about Beyonce and Taylor. It's been their summer. It's like all about them, and women control the music industry, the world. Let's be real. So I loved that too.
Yeah, when I was listening the first time, I did hear that. I was like, Beyonce reference! that's like all I heard.
Shots said I was expecting perfect all-American bitch vibes for Slut.
Yes, that's what we've been trained to expect by all the Olivia titles. Like, this is a title Olivia Rodrigo would name a song.
True.
And and since Taylor has gotten way edgier in terms of what Taylor used to be, and she does more like rock-ish sounds, that's, I convinced myself it would be like a rep song. But
I feel like she wasn't writing that way, though, during the 1989 era.
Yeah.
Like, she was like a pastel girly, if that makes sense, if that resonates with anyone.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean. That's very 1989. Okay, Say Don't Go. This was the first one that stood out, and I started like singing along with it. Upon first listen, it's catchy, it's heartbreaking. This bitch didn't say I love you back to Taylor Swift when she said I love you, and she keeps leaving the door open so he can say it, and he never fucking does.
I'd leave. Someone doesn't say I love you back, I'm out the door. I'm gone.
See, this song,
but it's Harry Styles.
I don't, I I spent like 2 hours, you guys, after I wrote this, writing a whole lesson plan about their relationship and putting her songs in order of like how their story goes and connecting everything for everybody, because I was so excited about how this really put into perspective you are in love, because she was like, bitch, you are in love. Don't pretend you're not. Like, that's what that song is to Harry Styles.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm in love and you are too, even if you're not gonna admit it. Like, she's so frustrated.
Do a YouTube video or save it for the course.
I might do it for an extra episode.
There you go.
For like a bonus.
There
or
you
something.
Go. There you go. Because I want it.
Yeah.
Bad.
I know. I want to hear all these feel? Strings you've connected.
Yeah. And the timeline.
I was telling Christine last night. Listen, I think when I first listened to 1989, I wasn't very involved in Taylor Swift's love life. Like, I didn't want to be, I didn't need to be. And so that's why it took me forever to connect these Harry Styles strings. Like, I'm going to admit that I literally just figured out that style is named after Harry Styles. It took me a very long time until last month to figure that out. So I just like the songs for how they make me feel. But Say Don't Go was the first one that like I caught on. I remember sitting listening with Taya and I was like, oh, I like this one and I can sing it.
All right, should we move into, now that we don't talk Taylor Swift's shortest song ever, I have been listening to this one on repeat the last 48 hours. It's so fun. The bridge, again, is savage. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to pretend I like acid rock. I don't have to pretend I like being on mega yachts. I don't have to. I don't have to listen to smart men talk about important thoughts, important men and important thoughts. Maybe I am better off.
I really like this one. I really like this one. It's cutting.
I love what she's like. I call my mom and she says it's for the best. I love it. That's part of the chorus.
Is that the one where she goes, I call my mom.
I call my mom and she says it's for the best. And she,
I like this one a lot. Yeah.
It's also my favorite. I will say this song is the one that broke down a month of healing for me. And it really is for like my no contact girlies. And if you are also in that situation, we got this. And if it's meant to be, it'll be. And if it's not, the universe has something better in store. I think this might be my new Roman Empire. I've said it's documented.
2-minute, 30-second song.
It's been documented that Tolerate It is my Roman Empire, but this one might cross over. Like the lyric, remind myself the more I gave, you'd want me less. Absolutely. Yep.
Those was, boys can't.
No, vile feelings. So this is my favorite. I don't know if it can be on repeat quite yet, but I'll let you guys know when I'm there.
Then we've got Suburban Legends here. Suburban Legends is the one that has the mastermind beat in the beginning, and I feel like she's saying with this, because this is a plan that she had in her head. She was like, everyone thinks we're not gonna last, but like our relationship is so powerful when we are together. We're gonna prove them wrong. We're gonna go to like events together years down the line with all these musicians, and they're gonna be like, oh wow, look at them, they were meant to be. But it didn't work out. Her master plan failed. And it's sad she had to break her own heart because he wouldn't do it for her. I hate this, like the dudes who just fade out so you have to say that it's over, you know, like instead of communicating. And that's clearly what Harry would do.
Woof.
I really like the title of this one, and like I wanted this one to be my favorite when I first heard it. And it like is a little bit mastermind, a little bit like new romantics ish. Is this the one that has the like the synth in it that sounds like Labyrinth, or is it Over Now?
You know, I don't really know what synth sound is, so
it's
just
the, like
it's
like that,
yeah,
it's the wiggle, the wiggle sound.
She kind of has.
I can't remember because I'm not that
the album.
Deep into Suburban Legends as much.
Yeah. The only thing that stuck out for me for this one is when she says 1950s gymnasium. And it's one of those lyrics of Taylor's that when I hear it first, I'm like, ugh, I didn't like it. And then
she does. She loves to do that, her high school metaphors, you know, like all American.
No. I just meant like just she sings words that I wouldn't necessarily sing. And I remember like No Body, No Crime when I heard the boating license song. And I was like, I'm like, what? Why are you singing that? And then
that's what Dexter does with his bodies.
No, I he know that, but to me, the ocean. I understand, but it's a weird thing to sing. Okay. And same with the 1950s gymnasium. And then well, I when
like
I she's remember
picturing like prom in the 1950s, yeah.
That
vibe.
That was I mean, also the vibe I was getting.
No, I get that. It's just, it took me out of the song
like
when
the
I
words.
Heard
yeah.
when no, she sang valid. It. It was just a weird, and she also, it also, I remember when I first listened to Illicit Affairs and then she sang, Don't call me kid.
Don't call me baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that Taylor put a freaking warning in this song, and she says, she talks about conflicting star signs. If you have conflicting star signs with your significant other, fucking run. And I'm not saying just your sun sign. I'm saying the whole thing. I'm saying sun, moon, rising. Look at them. Because
oh my gosh.
I ignored that our star signs weren't compatible. And baby, they weren't compatible. Okay? So heed her warning. And don't do that to yourself. Okay?
I will.
Thanks. That's all I have to say about Suburban Legends.
So Is It Over Now is my favorite of these songs. I think the lyrics are amazing and really lay out such a beautiful idea and story. This is second chance love. That's what this song is. And that's my favorite trope in romances. But like Katy Perry says, it's never really over. And every time she's like, is it over now? I'm like, it's never really over, Taylor. It's never. Like when I was listening to it for the first time. But this is like daydreaming about running into that person again. And it's starting again. I love the line. Let's fast forward to 300 takeout coffees later. Like that hit me. I was like, oh, like we're doing time jumps in this song. And I fucking love it.
Well, of course you do. This Again But Better.
Like she's also referencing so many. This is very Again But Better. She's also referencing so many things from other songs and like from just like pop culture moments. If you followed her life, like there's the Out of the Woods reference with the blood and the snow and the blue dress on the boat where she's like was on that Harry Styles boat and the. I mean, I don't think she was referencing New Moon, but like the jumping off of tall something so that you come running is very Edward Bella. and to say the something I've been wanting, but no, like that's, you know, Harry never saying I love you, even though they're in love and she's just, it's driving her crazy. Anyway, it was a very savage. So the whole song, for Harry. Super the whole song was savage for Harry.
Literally, all I wrote on the doc was Harry Styles found dead in a ditch.
I wrote cold, icy, ouch, Harry.
Grab your pitchforks.
We're so
folks.
Eloquent.
Like there like was three paragraphs here.
I know. And meanwhile, Natasha and I are like Harry. Is dead and it hurt.
I mean, the line that she's like, did you think I didn't see there were flashing lights? At least I had the decency to keep my knights out of sight, is such a fucking burn, because there's so many paparazzi photos of Harry like with these other women while he was supposedly with Taylor Swift, which like takes us back to Slut, where he's like, where she says, you were wanted by everyone and that was my crime. Mm-hmm. Like, she was a slut because Harry Styles was having sex with all these other women that looked like her.
And, oh my God, a few of them have come up on my TikTok and they've been like, I'm yes. one of those women. And I'm like, holy yes. shit.
Yes. Social media is scary in 2023.
There's a viral TikTok of a model yep. with blue eyes doing her makeup while she was yep. listening. And she's yes. like, oh, she's like, is this I me? Am a blue-eyed oh, model.
Literally. And she looks so much like Taylor.
So we, I think, are going to move into our main discussion. But before we do, I want to take a second to thank everyone out there listening. We appreciate you so much. If you're not already, we'd love it if you're following the podcast for free in your favorite podcast app, so you get every episode delivered to you when they drop and you don't miss any. And mm-hmm. if you aren't already, of course, we're on TikTok and Instagram and Twitter and just all the places where you could get news whenever we're doing something with the pod or whenever we drop a new episode too. And we'd love it if you like the show, if you left us a review in Apple Podcasts, or if you just rate us 5 stars on Spotify. It really helps us find more people that might like the pod. And if you want to support us in a bigger way, we are a viewer supported podcast. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/@those4kingfangirls, or just /those4kingfangirls. Actually, it's linked in the show notes. And we've got 3 tiers with lots of fun perks. Our most regular being the $5 level, Team Jacob, where you get our extra show every single week. We do a 30-minute extra show called Fangirl Tea Time, where we dig into more personal stuff going on in our lives and some deeper topics. And it's really, really fun. We love our community over there. We appreciate yes. them so hard. There's lots of other perks too that you might want to check out. Link in the show notes. All right. Woo. We're going to dive into our main discussion, which is about costuming and makeup and how in films and TV and how they've inspired us through the years. We're going to kick it off by going through our top 3 most memorable costumes and fashion moments in film. And since, Natasha, this was like your idea from like day one of us planning the pod, you wanted to do a costuming episode. Kick us off with some of your favorites.
So this is on the eve before Halloween. We're also recording this, so it is costume season. I have
it's
been
relevant
in a costume hole of scraps and lace over the last week. If you're watching the visual version, you can see I have my robe for Phantom of the Opera behind me that I made, and that will be donned today. I'll be shooting it. So, okay, top 3 most memorable costume fashion moments. My first one that I remember being like, oh my God, like what are these outfits? Is Uma Thurman's Poison Ivy from Batman versus Robin, not Superman, Batman and Robin. And from listen, Batman I filled this out Superman. At like 1 a.m. last night. Okay, do you guys know which, like, the character I'm referencing?
Yes. Yes. The redheaded green
yes.
outfit.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Hot.
She wears multiple. Yes, she's so hot. I think I was maybe, like, 5 or 6 years old watching this, and my mom got me the doll. It was, like, an off-brand Barbie, but it was, like, a really well-made doll, so it must have been expensive or something. And okay, she wears so many wonderful things, not to mention her hair is like this beautiful red color, and she's got like ivy eyebrows. And
is this Uma Thurman?
This is Uma Thurman.
Yeah.
And there's two amazing looks that I love from this movie. She's wearing like an ivy bodysuit with like this green and red cape, and her hair is like up in these like little space buns. It's like very Spice World comic book character 90s. Vibes. Yes.
Yeah.
And then there's another like green jumpsuit that she wears, and just everything about all those looks and her makeup and the nails. And I was like captivated as a 5-year-old. And even now, like I have so many pictures of like reference photos, because someday, one day I will do it.
I was gonna say, when are we going to see it? When do we get it?
You've been waiting for a while.
I've been waiting. Because the thing is like I see these costumes and I'm like, I'll just make it one day. Like one day it will happen. And they're just on the list of one
the
day.
The to-do list, on the sewing to-do list.
Yes. To be made.
All right.
Yeah. TBM. I want to see that list desperately, actually.
It's on my Pinterest. If anyone finds my Pinterest.
If you haven't seen the movie that Natasha's talking about, don't watch it. Just Google pictures, because the movie hurts. And I could only get through 20 minutes.
The movie is hilarious, though. You've got Arnold Schwarzenegger and George Clooney.
It's so bad.
It's hilarious. They have nipples on their costume.
Yeah,
their suits.
A lot of people say that movie was their sexual awakening because of the nipples on everyone's costume.
Side note,
did you see that Kim Kardashian is coming out with a nipple bra? So this is basically coming back, and it's relevant. Crazy.
What do you mean a nipple bra?
She is coming out with
a bra that has
built-in nipple. So even if you're warm, you will have a nipple. A la Rachel Green.
It's a padded bra.
A la...
I was like all of the Friends in the early seasons. Yeah.
So it's coming back, I guess. I also always have...
Wow.
My nipples are always out. So I'm not going to buy this bra, but someone else might really be into it.
I don't need anyone else looking at my boobs, so I don't think I'll be purchasing
You're like,
it.
It's enough. It's enough for me.
Yeah.
They're
big enough.
Go look this up, Christine, because not to be graphic, the nipples are protruding quite a bit. I don't know. It's a lot.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
My boobs to be nipping.
Yeah, it's not like great. I wish mine would stop doing that. So
all right
Christine,
you want me to do one? All right. Yeah. I have a pretty different vibe. Oh, I don't know how different, actually. It's character-y. Okay, by far, the most memorable fashion moment for me through the years was Captain Jack Sparrow. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to be that. I loved that.
You look hot.
I was obsessed with that. I love being a pirate, and I got to do that a bunch of cosplaying last year.
I want to be a pirate.
I want to be Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow pirate.
I like that too.
Not all pirates. I want that pirate. So I did do a cosplay thing with Natasha, where she was Elizabeth Swann. I got to be the Johnny Depp pirate.
Okay.
And
I need
fucking
pictures
loved
ASAP.
That.
ASAP.
Chloe's like, it's Halloween tomorrow. I got to post those.
I need those pictures ASAP. Thank you.
Yeah, that was 2022, like May, we did that. And we were Avengers pirates at Comic-Con. So I got to be a pirate again. I was a Captain America pirate, but I did like being Jack Sparrow better.
I need to see that first before I post it. But the Captain Jack Sparrow, I like how Natasha was like, oh, she wants to post it. And I was like, no, I just want it personally. But I guess, I'll post it too. That's cool.
We have so many costumes together. We should just post like a
we should carousel.
We'll do a job.
We'll
little carousel.
Yeah. Fine, I'll do my job. Yeah. Send me pictures.
Chloe, give us one of yours.
I feel like mine are different vibes, but this lives rent free in my head. Sharpay Evans. First day of senior year, High School Musical 3, with the like pink leather skirt and the matching fringe high heel pink boots and the like long blonde hair extensions. Yeah, no, I that will happen someday. I don't know when. I based Sharpay's definitely what I based my personality on, but it's so good. It is so good. She's so good.
Listen, I have to Google this.
It's so funny that I didn't really get into High School Musical at the time, mm-hmm. but I've rewatched them over the pandemic, and I had so much fun making fun of them, but like also enjoying them. And I didn't realize that one of my friends from high school had totally just taken on all the Sharpay-isms. And every time she did one of them, I was like, oh my God, Christina just like did all these.
I went to college actually down the street from East High, where they filmed it. So I got to visit East High and got to see Sharpay's locker. Oh. And I was an extra in High School Musical, the musical, the series. So I'm a big High School Musical girly. I didn't go to college because it was down the street from East High. I went to Utah, if anyone was wondering. But I love Sharpay so much. And I didn't take all of her Sharpay-isms, but certainly a few have made it into my personality.
Nice.
Yes. What's your star sign, Chloe?
Aries.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. So you're born in April.
That's a fire,
mm-hmm.
right?
Fire. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That makes mm-hmm. sense.
Yeah, aggressive. You know, all the things.
I love it.
Natasha,
okay,
you wanna go?
I'll go again. All right. Okay, another costume that changed my brain chemistry when I was a young wee lass was Padme. Hold on. Was all of Padme's costumes.
True.
But specifically her flower fields dress, which I've already made. But it's my favorite for a reason. Honestly, like early 2000s, we had so many, like we had Lord of the Rings, we had Star Wars, we had Padme, we had, like I said, Poison Ivy from like 1998 and all that. There's so many amazing costumes from that era. And I think like, it's literally one of my favorite things when Carrie Fisher was like, did a speech and she's like, I wore this dress the entire film series. And now you have Natalie Portman wearing a freaking gown in every other scene. It's not fair. And I feel that.
She wore the same outfit, you mean, in every single scene throughout the entire series.
She only
Except
wore
for that
white
gold
things.
Bikini.
Except for
which did not look comfortable.
Not the bikini. As a man ever asked you to never mind.
I'll put
but
it on
Rachel
one day.
Green has done it.
Oh, have we not all done that? Oops.
Anyways, the flower field dress is my favorite from the prequels. It's just so pretty and so delicate.
They did Padme so well for her costumes.
I only know it because Natasha has done the cosplay, but it was a cool, very cool cosplay. So intricate.
Very.
And I know it from Natalie Portman being like, say something nice about the motherfucking prequels, y'all. I watched that video so many times. It was so funny.
I also love the pink purple ombre look she has, but a lot of people have cosplayed that.
Oh, that's
so
gorgeous. Was doing.
Yes. That one.
All
lives
the Naboo
rent-free.
Looks.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. I'll move on to my next one here. I've got the yellow dress and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, which, like, I don't know why this is the most memorable outfit of all time, but it is.
It is.
Like, if you tell me you remember an outfit from a movie, I'm like, the yellow dress from How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. I don't think I love the dress. Like, I don't think I love it. I just think it's so memorable. I don't think I'd like it on me. I think Kate Hudson slays it, but also I don't love the dress.
I feel like it's because yellow dresses are not common at all. So it's like it's just such a statement dress in my opinion. Yeah. Especially like that lemon pale yellow.
And the diamond mm-hmm. that she wears with it. So if you are not familiar, it's like this V-neck dress with like no back that like drops right over her butt. And then, and the waistline is like low. It's like the 20s almost. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a drop. And that's basically the dress. It's like silk. It's
pretty form fitting. I wouldn't say it's like a drop waist, but the backless like makes it
almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like a slip, but like it's not form fitting because it drops so low. I feel like
I remember watching this film when I was young, and I was like, oh my gosh, like that is so revealing. But I really think only Kate Hudson could have pulled it off.
Yes, and made it look that was what I was about to say. Good. Like, it is such a specific, like, that dress is, like, to try to pull that dress off. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's more form-fitting than I imagined, but, like, it kind of looks loose on her. You know what I mean? That's the way it, that's why it's so beautiful on her. It looks elegant because it's kind of, like, flows on her. I don't know. It doesn't feel that tight.
Because, you want to know why? I'll tell you. It's because it's cut on the bias. And if you don't know what that means, so you know you have like a big rectangle piece of fabric, and usually satin doesn't have any give when you pull it the lengthwise. It doesn't have any give when you pull it the widthwise. But if you pull it diagonally and you cut it diagonally, it has give diagonally. So the most satin dresses are cut on the bias and you literally have to let it sit on a hanger, like the pieces, so it starts to fall and give that draping effect. And that is how
I looked it up again to see, and it's uglier than I remember. That's my hot take.
Yeah, I don't. I watched the movie recently. I was like, I don't like this dress really. It's just so memorable. It's so memorable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, give us your next one, Chloe.
Okay, this might be niche, but I think about it all the time. Blair Waldorf's wedding dress, the Ellie Saab one, the second one when she's marrying Chuck.
She gets married twice?
The second one where she's marrying Chuck, and it is so beautiful. It has, like, these flower details. It's, like, sparkly. It's really, really pale blue and white.
It doesn't look like a wedding dress.
It doesn't really look like a wedding dress. It is genuinely one of the most stunning dresses I think I've seen in TV show, like in a TV show, a modern TV show, I should say. So I think about that dress a lot. It is so pretty.
Yeah. It's very pretty. It's like see-through, but not.
No, it's stunning. It's so stunning.
Really cool. Yeah.
It's very pretty.
Very, very pretty.
I love Ellie Saab.
Natasha.
Okay, my last one. My last one is the Evil Queen. Honestly, all of her outfits.
All of her outfits. Which one in particular sticks out?
Well, I mean, her main one that, like, in the promo shots, it's like a black ball gown with purple and like a huge collar. I just have to give my like accolades to Once Upon a Time, because though that costume department was pumping out these massive ball gowns every single week,
look on after
look. on a network TV show, and they are just phenomenal, and they match her vibe so well, and they're so fun. I think it was also the first time I saw a ball gown with pants, and it fits her so well, and she's just like so freaking badass in those gowns. And now I don't believe her hair was always on point, like the high ponytail kind of freaked me out.
Yes. Agreed.
Ooh, and I don't believe that. Yeah, that one. Her hair is crazy.
That one.
If you're watching the visual version, I'm showing some of these outfits.
I don't believe that the hair and makeup department was on point. But I do believe that the costume department was on point for Once Upon a Time.
Ooh.
And
talk your shit, Natasha. Talk your shit.
I always... I always said that. And no, the Evil Queen is, she's amazing. And I have cosplayed as her.
I think I
want to redo it because I didn't do it very well, in my opinion.
You have the hair for it and you could like do good hair, you know? Once upon a time costumes are so stunning. They're so stunning. I think about so many of them.
The last person on my list is Laura Dern's outfit in Jurassic Park. That pink shirt and those tan high-waisted shorts. Like, I love Jurassic Park. And I wanted this outfit so much.
Babe, you could get this outfit. You could get this outfit so easy.
Well, back in 2017, it wasn't easy because they didn't have any of these high-waisted shorts when I was looking for them. I was like, it's time for me to finally cosplay Laura Dern. And there were no high-waisted tan shorts. Even on eBay, there was only one pair that was like from the 90s. And I was like, ew, I don't want 90s shorts.
Yeah.
I want now shorts that look like 90s.
I feel like getting the 90s will be more now. Yeah, probably. They're trendy again. But you so easily could pull this off. You look like her.
I thought it was going to be such an easy cosplay, and then I couldn't find them back when I was looking for it. But I just think this outfit's iconic. Jurassic Park is iconic. I love dinosaurs. And,
I love dinosaurs. I took a dinosaur class in college. I love them too.
I just want to be a cool dinosaur lady.
Well, nothing's stopping you, babe. Nothing's stopping you. You are a cool dinosaur lady.
I just want to add in that Nicole says my most memorable movie dress is the blue dress Buttercup wears in The Princess Bride when she's with Prince Humperdinck. Little child Nicole thought that was the most gorgeous dress that could possibly be.
His name is so volatile. Get out of here.
Naomi said Hermione's Yule Ball dress. Mm-hmm. And then Shot
I wish
said,
that was better.
Me too. I wish it was
I
better.
Loved it.
It could have been better.
It could have been better.
Shot said I love the Yule Ball dress, but so different from what I pictured from the books, not gonna lie.
Shot says, do you think dinosaurs had feathers? And apparently they did, but
they
we
do.
Learned about them without feathers,
I
so it's hard to picture them.
A video recently of what a T-Rex would actually sound like. I'll hit you that.
Yes.
I'll send it to you via text.
Send it. Send it.
Literally
you
the scariest
seen
thing.
This yet.
Scariest thing I've ever seen. I'm a dinosaur girl.
No, I've
too.
Seen that they have feathers. I'm just that when we were youths, like they didn't know they had feathers. And like all those pictures
that
are what's burned
recent,
into your brain.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was before the Dominion came out, the last Jurassic Park, because they put feathers on one of them. But like when I was in first grade was my peak dinosaur time, and Land Before Time, the first
I
Jurassic
loved
Park.
Land Before Time, man.
Yes, one,
I
two, and three. Three with the little Chomp Chomp.
Yes.
Is that what his name was? The little T-Rex. Oh, it's a grand old time. Anyway,
all right, Chloe,
give us your last one, Chloe, before we move into the next section.
I don't know if this is allowed, but I am a fan of the Barbie direct-to-DVD movies. There's like 42 of them.
Yes.
Barbie Princess and the Pauper. Yeah, but it's not a film. Mm-hmm. I guess it's whatever. Barbie Princess and
You're
the Pauper.
Fine.
Princess Annalise's pink dress. I need it so bad. I want it so bad. And one day I will either make it because I'm trying to get on that Natasha grind and start making things, or I will pay someone a lot of money to make it for me. Either way, I will have that dress
just
someday.
Make it.
If I can get good enough.
Listen.
Oh, wow.
You
this is elaborate.
It.
This kind of reminds me of Rapunzel's dress. This one?
Yeah, that one. Oh, she's so pretty. God, Princess Annalise, man. Goals. Barbie in the Fairytopia dress, Gabby, that I almost put Alina because that flower pink sparkly dress. My issue is Barbie, all of Barbie movies dresses are pink and they're all gorgeous and I want all of them.
This brings us around to what era or genre would you want to be in just for the costumes if you were filming like a TV show of something in a certain era?
Oh, and okay. Yes.
Natasha, you want to kid us?
Sorry.
Yes. Are you looking at the Barbie dress?
Well, no, when you, sorry. When you said genre or era, I was like, oh, damn, I don't want to like go back in time and wear this shit because that's not fun.
No, but no, if
I
was for a in movie a film, or TV show, yeah. We're not going back in time. I don't want to be an actual, like, whatever I'm saying.
You don't want to be oppressed. Okay.
Exactly. Okay. Yes. So if, honestly, if there was like a really great Greek gods movie and they wore these elaborate like Grecian gowns and togas, like that, I'll fuck that shit up. Like that is what I want to put on my body. just this like drapey, corseted, flat, or like imagine Persephone in a film. Like the costumers would go.
You
want to
be Megara.
Yeah, but
you
like
already are. Get better. The fuck out of here.
Yeah. But better. Or I would love to do a Rococo like Marie Antoinette type of film in this big gown with big wigs and like ships in my hair. I think that would be super fun.
I would hate that.
Love
ships.
Love.
What do you mean ships? She has ships in her hair.
Ships.
Like full boats. Like,
yes. Yeah. Like sail. Like they, big what? Sailboats. Uh huh.
Oh my god. Even seeing pictures of those wigs like hurts my head. Like, what about your head, Natasha?
I feel like they probably have.
It's like a once in a lifetime opportunity
in them.
Well, not if it's a TV show. You got to wear that shit every day.
I don't care.
You get it'll really be, good.
I'll
strength.
Do it for 3 months. Listen, listen, you guys. I already wear very uncomfortable things. I can do it.
We believe you. We're not questioning you at all. We're questioning ourselves. We couldn't do it.
I could not. See, I put down, I want to be pirates.
Can you give us your best, like, arg, please?
I don't have an arg.
Well, that's disappointing.
I'm Jack Sparrow pirate.
Say, where's
it
the rum?
Say arg. I'm not talking about those dumb pirates. I'm talking about,
whoa,
like, I'm going to commandeer your boat.
Listen, dumb pirate. Captain Hook is not dumb, okay?
I'm talking like I practice with him 3 hours a day. So when a pirate comes, I can kill him.
That was good, too. I'll accept that.
Just put me in the pirates movies.
Put me in, Coach.
And make me a pirate.
The vibe, that it's just so funny, like just hearing our very different preferences on all of this. Like, put me in a big corseted gown with a ship on my head. Christine actually wants to be the person on the ship. And now, Chloe, please add in what you want to wear.
I want to be like Western, old timey, Wild West vibes. So, like, not a corset, but I. I'm
like
obsessed.
A saloon girl.
I would kill
like
that
West
shit,
World?
Bro. Less Westworld, more 1883. But yes. I would rock that shit. And I'm a horse girly, so I can put me in, Coach. I can ride horses. So let's do it.
So the chat was saying a dinosaur with a pirate hat for
hot, sexy, love.
I don't want to be a dinosaur though. just want to see them at a park.
You want to see
escape alive?
No, I. That's
a
alarming,
real?
Christine. No, you don't.
No, a fake one.
Oh, a fake
a
one.
Mechanical dinosaur.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. Or like be in the film where you're not actually with them. Just like when we're
those
wearing
weren't
the
real
costumes.
Dinosaurs. Shit.
They look so
they
real
do.
Still. Go watch Jurassic Park 1, everybody. Holds up so well. All right. Now, is there a character in film or TV that was costumed perfectly to reflect their personality that you think was really elevated by their wardrobe? Chloe, hit us.
Okay. I think Phoebe from Friends is like the first memory I have of watching someone
yes.
whose outfits perfectly capture just their general vibe and personality. And it just felt so authentic and I loved it. Even though she wore like sometimes really crazy outlandish shit, she always pulled it off and it always felt so natural because of her personality. Mm-hmm. And then Blair from Gossip Girl, I think is such a good example of someone who like is perfectly captured in her preppy, a little uptight style, the headband. Like literally like having a physical representation of a crown as she's considered Queen Bee is so brilliant from the costuming department, and the juxtaposition between her and Serena just works so well. Elle Woods from Legally Blonde, that is the person that I'm iconic. Trying to be every day, all day. Her outfits are so perfect, and as her storyline progresses, they stay in the same like frame, and it's clear that she understands her sense of style but makes it work for what she's doing, and I love that. I think this is a basic answer, but Carrie from Sex and the City, I think that she is so well done, and I think she was the reason so many women felt like they could be playful with their fashion and could step outside of the box. And then my last one, and like I've revealed myself as a Western horse girly, but Beth from Yellowstone, I think she is so severe and intense. And I think that
she's the redhead.
She is the redhead, and or strawberry blonde, I guess. And her costuming perfectly captures how she comes across and her essence. And as she gets more chaotic, her clothes get more revealing, and it's such a beautiful, I think, story with through her costumes. And that's what I love when I'm watching something. Like, tell me a story through the clothes too.
I agree. I'm going to add to that. So the first one I put down was the nanny, Fran Drescher. She got so, she's so iconic. And I feel like people, like for a while there, like no one, we all kind of forgot about the nanny. And then all of a sudden, like, I know, all of a sudden, like, she started like coming back to the zeitgeist again, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, her outfits are amazing and incredible.
What does she wear? Like that red jacket?
She wears, okay, her sense of style is again, it's she knows her sense of style. She knows what looks good on her body. Everything is tight. Everything is short.
I've never seen her before.
Everything is.
Oh, God, it's so good.
Yeah, everything. Well, she wears designer clothes all the time. But like they talked about it, how they would get the designer clothes and then they would tailor it so that it was short and tight, and it just looked so good on her every time.
Natasha, can I ask you, do you ever think about that black short dress with the heart purse and the cropped blazer? I think that lives rent free in my
all
head
all the time.
And the choker. Oh my god, so good.
I don't know her.
Well, you're missing out.
You should watch some of the show. It's so good.
It's so good. It's so
for
funny.
A long time it wasn't, and it wasn't like it wasn't able to be streamed, but now it is.
It's on Max now. I think.
Max. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so Edward Cullen, but only in Twilight, okay? Iconic looks.
Where else is he? Only no, the in movie. She's only the first movie. Versus,
yeah.
Oh my god.
They dressed him costumes so bad kind of in Eclipse.
And his hair, okay? Yeah. So his hair was the best in Twilight. He had the iconic peacoat. The sunglasses.
I had that peacoat because I wanted to be him.
Oh my god.
It's such an iconic look, and it's the only look that is quite memorable, and it's just so perfect for him. And like at first I was like, oh yeah, Robert Pattinson, but then in the costume and the hair and the freaking cuff he has also makes sense. I love that look.
Had that cuff too.
Okay, so I think the perfect example of telling a story through costumes is through Daenerys Targaryen. Yes. She develops so much, and it's not just her costumes, it's also her hair, because every time she wins a battle, there are more braids that are get put in her hair, and by the end of the show, her hair is so elaborately braided, and it's because she's fucking badass. Because in the beginning of the first season, she's in this see-through gauzy gown, and then and then she, you know, gets more into the, she gets invited more into the Dothraki, and she's in more like deserty burlap type of costuming, and then she loses it all, and it's just like scraps on her body, and then she starts gaining her confidence back up, and she starts wearing more like, again, like flowy stuff, things again, but then she starts adding more armor and more color and more structure, and then by the end of the series, she's in this like structured black like coat with like a dragon sigil on her, and like red, and then like a white fur coat, and like I said, like her hair is just so elaborately braided, and it's just such a beautiful story told through costuming, and it's just all, the entire show is just so magically done in costumes, and
so true.
I love all of her costumes, and then last thing is Katniss. I think I've always loved Katniss's costumes, from the first dress she wears at the Reaping to the last like dress she wears in part two, and like her chariot costume is one of my favorites. When they did the black suit in Hunger Games, I knew they didn't have as much budget, but it still looked phenomenal, and her hair always looked amazing, and it was just very telling of like who dressed her or if she dressed herself, and I love that story told through costumes as well.
For me, I feel like one of my favorite characters that had costuming that like perfectly filled them out in terms of like who they were was Villanelle from Killing Eve. Now, if you haven't watched Killing Eve, you should watch Killing Eve. It's phenomenal. But Villanelle is a serial killer. And we, you know, first get hear about her just murdering people. And then we get to see Villanelle, and she's so weird. Okay, I'm explaining this wrong. She's a murderer, but she has this like weird whimsical side to her, because you start to love Villanelle, and it's because you start to see that first through her clothes, because she wears this like wild high fashion shit. Like she has this iconic like huge pink dress. That was like the first time I saw something that looked like a Selkie dress. And she's just like traipsing about the city, and that she has these amazing suits, like just with these like very loud patterns. And I'm just obsessed with all of them. And I've said this before, like I'm in love with this serial killer on this show. She has amazing chemistry with Eve, who is the agent who is trying to catch her. And they start having this like weird romance because they both have a crush on each other, but she's murdering people but with style. It's just, I feel like without the way that they dressed her like that, if she didn't have her fashion, it would be a completely different vibe. Like I don't think you'd be half as endeared to her, because it's so unexpected, and it's such a sharp left from what you think she's gonna be like. And it really illustrates, like she'll leave gifts for Eve, and it'll be like really expensive clothes like that she thinks Eve will like it's really just very quirky in the best murdery way. And then this is like a more straightforward one, but Barney Stinson and his suits. I don't know if anyone watched How I Met Your Mother. Barney Stinson was like the lovable but asshole-y character. He was like a lovable douchebag on How I Met Your Mother, and he always wore a suit, and he was like, his catchphrase was suit up, and he also endeared me to suits. And okay, Another one, I think the costuming really made her character. I mean, all of the characters, honestly, on Orphan Black, because they're all played by the same person, Tatiana Maslany. Mm-hmm. They do such a good job transforming her via hair, makeup, and costume that, mm-hmm. first of all, it's like completely believable to us that it's a completely different person. But I bet that's like really helps her get into whatever character she's playing. Like they have very different hair and very different style. And Helena, who is my favorite, she's the one from Ukraine and she's a murderer. I'm seeing a pattern.
Christine likes murders. Slide into Christine's DMs if you're a murderer.
Please don't. I like them in theory when they're fake.
When they're fake. Fake murderers.
But she wears like these like scraps and shit. Like, and she has makeup that's like makes her so pale, and she has these red circles around her eyes. Like, she is so cool and she's really badass. And then of course Catherine Pierce, who is the doppelganger of Elena Gilbert in The Vampire Diaries. They did an amazing job separating those two characters. Mm-hmm. Catherine wears like very confident, like sexual clothing all the time. You know, she always has this like swagger, and the clothes perfectly reflect that personality difference. And she's just so cool, also, even though she's an asshole.
Masterclass in acting from Nina Dobrev. Like,
yes.
The differences between Catherine, and I know that's like funny because she's like, it's like, what a CW show, but she did so well.
No, it's a great show.
She did so well. The thing is, like, distinguishing
there
herself.
There are great CW shows.
Between the, oh, of yeah. course. It's Vampire Diaries is yeah. slay. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's like almost,
Jane the Virgin.
It's almost like shocking how good she is at distinguishing herself when she looks exactly the same. And obviously the costumes help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a friend who's like, oh, I hate Elena. Like, I just hate her. But I love Catherine.
And the thing is, that's like, there's this weird endearingness with like the sassy asshole, mm-hmm. you know, like she is a murderer as well, and she has no remorse so mm-hmm. much, but Elena is like so focused on being a goody two shoes that like all of the stuff she does annoys us. But when Catherine embraces her evilness, we're like, oh, slay.
What does that say about us?
Like, because we yeah, well, because we have to be good in our everyday lives, so we yeah, like to see someone true. Be able to get away with breaking the rules and doing scandalous shit. but yeah, and I just added one really quickly because I think they did a spectacular job with this too. In Schitt's Creek, David's mm-hmm. wardrobe is perfect for his character, and it's always just been so iconic to me because I've never seen a character dressed like that so consistently in black sweaters that are like really interesting and quirky. But iconic. Has there ever been costumes and makeup that ruined a character for you? Tell us. Who wants to go first?
Oh, okay. I'll go, I guess. Listen, Belle's gown in Beauty and the Beast live action was probably my least favorite thing I have ever seen. They had such an opportunity to fucking make this gown like the most gorgeous thing you will have ever seen. And they did it!
Talk your shit. Talk your shit. You're so right. It's so disappointing.
I'm sorry. But it's like, after we got that incredible gown from Cinderella, mm-hmm. we get this. And they literally, I'm going to tell you, they literally had to digitally enhance Belle's gown to make it more epic. Yeah. They had to add the little gold swirls on it. They actually had to make it bigger on the bottom because it just... Well, okay, and I don't think you need to wear a corset for a gown, but you do need to wear a corset to keep up the structure. Keep up the, and I yeah. know that... and had to hold it when it's such a big gown. And so she couldn't have a big gown because she didn't want a corset to cinch in her waist. I totally understand that. I do think you could have done it with boning without having to like cinch in a waist. But it's like, I much prefer the animated version of
it's
it and the
good.
Hair in the animated version. Yeah. It's the hair, it's the accessories. It's just, and it's not of the time period whatsoever.
No.
It's supposed to be.
It's a yellow gown.
It's a yellow gown.
It's supposed to be an iconic yellow gown, and it's not.
Yeah. It's not as iconic as Hana's guy in 10 days.
The animated version is so much more magical, and it's mm-hmm. so sad.
And she wears gloves, and she looks mm-hmm. like a princess. And when I saw that, I was just like, what is this?
And I just of the have Disney to say, adaptations, live action.
But the Cinderella one is so good.
It's so good. It's so beautiful.
I fell asleep.
Okay, but you have to remember the gown.
It's a huge gown that she's wearing. Most people's favorite Disney princess, mm-hmm. I feel like. So I was just so disappointed. And you know that Emma Watson could have looked like ethereal. And if they did it like super well, but
yeah. She looks just like Hermione coming down the steps yes. in Goblet of Fire.
Really hot take, not as good. Sorry, not as good, not as impactful.
No,
T.
I have one other thing I want to say, and I'm still righteously angry about this. In the live action Little Mermaid, they didn't fucking give her another costume
that
when she
crazy.
Came back to meet Eric. And that sparkly gown is iconic.
Yeah.
And she puts on this rag. I'm sorry. Like you.
You again, sounded like Scuttle
fucking
just
Disney.
I don't even remember.
They have so much opportunity to make extra money with another costume mm-hmm. that they can sell to little girls. Why didn't they put
true.
Her in a fucking sparkly
That's
gown
so
at
true.
The end?
What are they going to get at Bippity Boppity Boutique?
Yeah, she wears two things. Well, minus her tail and her like
yeah,
clamshells.
Sure.
She wears a blue dress and then a pink dress at the very end, and they look very similar.
Yeah, they look so similar. I was really disappointed in that too.
Well,
okay, I'm done.
I don't have any memory because they don't stick in my mind, but for me the answer to this question was similar in the Harry Potter vein, Ginny Weasley and Sirius Black. Ginny Weasley, I don't know what they were dressing her in, but she was supposed to be like really cool in the books, like this cool girl who has like great hair and like all the boys like her and no one's gonna like her in those children's place plain outfits they have her dressed in.
Talk your shit.
Okay, you cannot have a lot of money and still like style yourself. She doesn't stop styling anything. She wears like pants and a matching monogram top, I feel like.
Like oh my god. No, and the Yule ball dress they put her in. The Yule ball dress
it was so
they
bad,
put her
I
in.
I don't even remember.
She looks
it.
Like a damn like, cupcake. Like a mint.
Oh my
cupcake.
Gosh.
It's so bad.
Like, and I just I just yeah. What is with her hair too? It's just pinned straight.
She should have a blowout
down all the time.
She should have a '90s blowout.
She should
also
have curls or something.
Well,
give her volume.
Harry Potter though did themselves a big disservice because they could have done '90s clothing because that's when the books were actually set. But instead, they did like really basic Y2K, mm-hmm. like low waisted, like layered Oof. Realness. And it just was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And they
yeah.
decided
and
to keep them in muggle clothes the majority of the time.
Yeah.
Which was also fucking bad.
Which didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, you could
that
have avoided
blue shirt
this
that
ugliness.
Harry just wore all the time.
Yeah. They just, oh, God. No, Ginny, everything
and
about
that stupid
Disney,
sweater.
Disney?
Disney.
Did we
Disney?
What was that?
I meant to say, I can't speak. One second.
Everything. It's like Ginny and Weasley. You put it together. Sorry.
Everything they did to Ginny Weasley in the movies is diabolical. Everything they did to her. Costumes, hair, yes. Script, like, plea, direction.
Personality.
The personality was a flat line.
She was, like, nine when she got cast.
She was that face, that, like, emoji with line, line, line. Like, that was her whole character.
Oh, no. I hope in the TV show they make her as badass and as cool as she actually is, and I hope they give her a big, bouncy motherfucking blowout, okay?
Cheyenne, I don't know if you're referencing my shit Harry Potter fans never say from like 2012, but I did say movie Ginny.
Well, anyway, that unlocked a memory. Okay.
Oh. I was just thinking, how cool would it have been if Lindsay Lohan played Ginny Weasley?
Oh my. But then she would have had to be replaced like halfway through. Yeah.
Well, she did a great British accent, as we know from The Parent Trap.
So it was so authentic.
It was. All right. Chloe, tell us, hit us.
I'm not gonna get too deep. I stopped watching Pretty Little Liars because I hated everything that they put on their bodies. Everything that they wore. And I genuinely liked the story. I hated what they wore so much that I was like, no, I'm not doing this. It was like Disney Channel, but vile.
It's try hard.
Vile. Yeah. Vile. Also just like 2010 to 2016 TV show fashion. Rough.
Not good.
Rough, man. Really rough.
Yeah.
It was.
I felt the same way about Rain.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't take the modern fashion.
Historical costumes.
No. God. It's like, fuck no.
the free
that kind of rain. I thought you were talking about Rain, R-A-I-N. So I was like, huh? It clicked after a second. Okay. I want to wrap this up because I like this question a lot and I think it's fun to know. Was there ever a show, character, or celeb that inspired you to shift your own style and makeup?
I think about how when I was growing up, Alex in Wizards of Waverly Place and Hannah Montana were like it for me. They were the fucking girls, man. And then I rewatched it recently and I'm like, these outfits are so bad.
They're so 2000s.
They are so bad. First of all, why did they layer that many clothing items on top of each other.
I know. That was the 2005 way.
And I desperately wanted to be them. And then Hannah Montana wore sparkles every day. And that is something that I have that has stuck around for me. But the decom fashion was like, just had me. It had me in a chokehold and it's so ugly. And we need to talk about it.
It really is.
Then Elwood's, Sharpay, and Winx Club, I think, are actually the influences that have stayed with me now. Like, I think I genuinely dress like a combination of those three things. Probably Barbie too. But again, Barbie, the direct to DVD 42 movies, particularly the first 18, really, really affected me. And then Fran Fine, truthfully, like I loved her outfit so much. And my mom actually dresses a lot like Fran Fine. So
my mom did too.
Yeah. So it kind of like feels like her to me. And my mom is very French and she is kind of the opposite of like typical American moms in the way that when I was growing up, she would always be like, Chloe, it needs to be shorter. It needs to be tighter. It needs to show your boobs a little bit. Oh. So she would like, what I was taught to do is like tighter, sexier. So like that, nice. She was very much like the Fran Fine for me. And we watched The Nanny together. So yeah. So that's like Fran Fine, if she was like aggressively pink, is probably where I would go.
Fran Fine is Barbie. Christine,
there we go.
For me, I have like very specific things that like directly influenced me at the time. One of them was Heroes, which I was absolutely obsessed with. Season one of Heroes, like head over heels for Peter Petrelli, played by Milo Ventimiglia. I've talked about this a lot, but he wore this tan trench coat and I was in love with him and I wanted to wear a tan trench coat. So I went out and bought a tan trench coat. A female
specific.
And I also loved his messenger bag. So I started using a messenger bag.
Oh no, and not then... the messenger bag. Not the messenger
yes.
bag.
Yes, I was the female Peter Petrelli.
Why do we all have one though?
I don't know.
And then let me see. Outlander, there was an episode in season two or three where Claire wore her makeup two. Like she did like the eyeshadow outline 1960s like on cut the top crease. Of her lid. And I was like, what is that? I love it. And I started wearing it. And I remember, Natasha, you told me like your mom was like, why is she wearing that?
Yes. Oh, well. Like she likes Claire's makeup.
And I was like, I was obsessed with Claire's makeup in one episode of Outlander. And then I remember growing up, I loved Britney Spears and she wore crop tops all the time. And they didn't really have crop tops yet in the 90s for like your average person. You know, people weren't just wearing them. I think maybe it was the 80s and it faded out. I don't know. But like, until like the 2014, that's when crop tops started being everywhere. And I instantly was like, ah, finally I can live my crop top life I wanted to as a child. Like if a shirt like barely showed my belly button, because shirts in the 90s were like squares, they were so, I hated the square look. And like, so like some, they would be short, but like not short enough to be like a cute crop and like not long enough to be a normal shirt. They were so ugly. I just looked like a box all the time in my square shirts. Anyway,
you did not look like a box.
Because I was like a little toothpick with these square like shirts that kept their squareness when you wore them.
So just like a square.
Anyway, so Britney Spears made me want to wear crop tops. Avril Lavigne went so hard with the eyeliner, and I was like, I want to be cool like her.
Oh, that's so real. Oh my god, the pink streaks.
Yeah, she was cool as fuck.
Eyeliner. For I remember. Christine I was real.
Yeah, I was. Eyeliner was my thing.
Natasha sounds traumatized by Christine's eyeliner. The way you said
I
that.
Only do, I would only do under. A little. And it would be thick as fuck.
Well, we can unpack that a different time, I guess.
I remember I wanted to start wearing red lipstick like on when I went out, but I felt dumb. And then Taylor started wearing red lipstick. And I was like, oh my god, it's time.
Taylor made me realize that blondes could wear red lipstick.
Yes, because I felt like a clown. Mm-hmm. And I did it. Anyway, a couple times, and I was like,
I think
look like one?
But then look better in red lipstick. But I do think blondes can wear it.
You have to be careful to as a blonde right. with the red lips.
Yeah, we have to find the right red.
Yeah, so you have to like a deeper red because like the bright red easily looks clown. And then one last thing, I really credit Julianne Hough for like making me feel okay for not like always wearing eye makeup as a blonde, because my eyelashes blend in like they're blonde. And she for so long on Instagram was just wearing like just eyebrows and I guess a base, and she looked so pretty. And I was like, oh, maybe I can do that. And now I became like so much more comfortable with my face.
I feel that. Half of my eyelashes are blonde because from when I was a child and had real blonde hair, and half are brown. So if I turn and look at my like non-mascara eyelashes, I can like only see half of the, it's hilarious. I feel it.
See, mine are just
they're just all blonde. Yeah.
It's all blonde. All right, Natasha, give us yours. Wrap us up. Bring us home.
So Catherine Pierce and her curly hair was my everything. That was my Roman Empire in high school. I
Roman empiring
her.
Is everyone's Roman empire now.
We do be using that a lot.
I do. It's gonna go out soon. Love that hair. Outlander literally had me wearing like plaid skirts and like these long midi length skirts in like 2014. Blake Lively in all of her fun hairstyles, like the her hair changes all the time, and it always gave me like inspiration to like change up my look because I love fun funky hairstyles. I mean, and just like I always wanted to be a princess, so I love Disney movies, and I finally like after the pandemic, I just leaned fully into the princess life, and I'm very happy in this life. I love my tutus. Thank you. I like making my own clothes like Cinderella. And I feel like I am meant to be a princess. So
you are.
Yes, you rock that look.
Yes.
All right.
I love it.
Oh, go ahead. Do you have any more?
Nope, that's it.
All right. We're going to move us into Mary Quiz Cliff.
Did this one.
All right.
I don't know, Christine, if you knew who it was.
I assumed
she said
you.
Chloe. Can you imagine? I would never assert myself like that to come up with a Mary Quiz.
Oh, I said Chloe or Natasha, whoever has an idea first.
I let Natasha do it. So at 1 a.m. last night.
Next time. Yes. Okay. So we've got pajamas, sweatpants, or sweatshirt. Well, who are you going to marry? What are you going to kiss? What are you going to cliff?
This sucks. I don't want to cliff any of
these easy. This is
objects.
Easy. No problem.
Yeah.
What are you cliffing?
I'm cliffing pajamas. I don't need pajamas when I have sweatpants.
You guys just don't wear pajamas?
And sweatshirts. Oh. Sweatpants and sweatshirts are pajamas. I don't know what y'all are
on. Well, sweatpants are just too hot.
Oh, well, maybe.
It's too hot.
I'm not going to lie to y'all. This is TMI, but whatever, for the show. I did tell people I bit people last episode. So I sleep with just a sweatshirt on. No pants. Just a sweatshirt.
No underwear?
No underwear. Winnie the Poohing with a sweatshirt. That is my pajama.
Wait, you don't get hot with the random sweatshirt?
It's what works for me, Christine. I don't know. Don't question it.
All right.
Sweat I wear. Unless I'm...
All right, so you're cliffing pajamas.
Yeah, I'm not going to go more into detail, but that's it. Oh, I'm marrying sweatpants. Because I might look cute up top, that's what I'm rocking on the bottom. Cliffing pajamas.
All right, so you're kissing a sweatshirt. Mm-hmm. All right. Natasha, what are you doing?
I think I'm going to cliff a sweatshirt.
Wow.
I'm always hot, y'all.
Our shock. Our utter shock.
Listen, I fucking love a cute pajama set. Mm. That's my shit. That's how I feel put together and ready for the world, is if I'm in a pajama set and I wake up the next morning.
Ready for the world in your pajama set?
What? Yes. Yes.
Sounds counterintuitive.
I feel like a hobo. Listen, half my pajamas are like old shirts and like old sweatpants or like old pajama pants, and they're all mismatched, and I feel like a hobo going to bed. So when I have like a nice one and they match, like I feel so put together and like everything's right in the world. Mm. So I'm going to marry pajamas, and then I'll kiss sweatpants because I do like my sweatpants. I like a stretchy waistband.
Mm.
Fuck jeans.
All right. I am going to marry sweatshirts. They are my everything every day. I'm not cozy until I put a sweatshirt over my outfit because I'm always cold. And I'm going to cliff pajamas because I do wear like joggers and a t-shirt to bed every night. I call them my pajamas, but I guess I can just still wear them because I didn't cliff them. They're still available to me. And our sweatpants will be kissed because I do love throwing on a pair of sweatpants after yoga.
I'm wearing them right now.
Literally me this morning. We're the same. I love that for us.
Yeah.
I'm wearing velvet pants.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Sensory. I love it.
Noise. Well, that is going to wrap up our show today. Chloe, where can we find you on the internet? Thank you so much for joining us.
We just have so much fun. And I'm so excited that we get to see each other IRL on Friday.
Yes. I know. This week.
It'll be so much fun.
Oh my gosh, this Friday. We have to plan our day.
True. You can find me at Chloe Laborson on TikTok, Instagram. Slide into my DMs if you want to be besties, but only if you bite. That's just going to be my sign off every time I come on the show.
Nice. Well, my name is Christine.
And I'm Natasha.
And we release new episodes every Friday. Our podcast is edited by Alex Polis and Jake Needham with music by Cole Jenkins and vocals by Heather Traska. Our socials are run by Chloe Laverson, as you just heard. And we will see you next week, y'all. Thank you so much for being in here. We're off to record Fangirl Tea Time, which is available on our Patreon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.